ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सिक्स कैंटो चैप्टर 14 एंटाइटल किंग चित्रकेतुस लैमेंटेशन टेक्स्ट 19। अपि तारा प्रजामात्या भृत्या श्रेयोथ मन्त्रिणः पौरा जानपदा भूपा आत्मजा वशवर्तिनः। ओ किंग, आर योर वाइव्स सिटिजन्स secretaries and servants and the merchants who sell spices and oil under your control? Are you also in full control of ministers, the inhabitants of your palace, your provincial governors, your sons and your other dependents? Purport: the master or king and his subordinates should be interdependent. Through cooperation, both of them can be happy. And the next verse is telling how this can be controlled. If the king's mind is fully controlled, all his family members and governmental officers are subordinate to him. His provincial governors present taxes on time without resistance. And what to speak of lesser servants? And Prabhupada writes in the next purport, Angira Rishi asked the king whether his mind was also under control. This is most essential for happiness. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is to give the absolute truth, unadulterated by any other contamination, so that at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam we gradually just cut off all other options for finding happiness other than coming to the complete shelter of Krishna. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, such extreme cases are also given so that no one can justify, well, Chitraketu, okay, but my case is different. Extreme case of Maharaj Chitraketu. The Maharaj Chitraketu, it is explained in the previous verses, it says, what was his situation? Once upon a time, no, not before that. O King Parikshit, in the province of Shurasena, there was a king named Chitraketu who ruled the entire earth. Actually, the last person who ruled the entire earth probably was Maharaj Parikshit. After that, if someone can rule his little province nicely, it's put in the Guinness Book of World Records. It's not possible. Only these great Rajarishis were there, who actually every planet in this creation is headed by one king. Every planet. Like Surya Loka is headed by Vivaswan, Chandra Loka is headed by Chandradev Soma, Indra Loka by Indra. Similarly, till Kali Yuga, which is simply quarrel and hypocrisy, everything breaks down. Even small family cannot be together. What to speak of controlling the whole planet. It's breaking down. But otherwise, every planet was headed by one emperor, Ekarat, Samrat. So, here is Chitraketu, who was a king, who ruled the entire earth. During his reign, the earth produced all the necessities of life. This is the second miracle. First of all, one man sitting in one corner is controlling the whole planet. Unimaginable. Just imagine, sitting at one place, somewhere in the corner of the earth, or even in the middle of the earth, is controlling the entire planet. It's explained in the first canto again. Maharaj Parikshit was actually ruling then. He inherited from Maharaj Yudhishthir the whole planet. So, people accepted Maharaj Parikshit as the next king or the emperor for the whole planet. But he somehow, the way they had arranged, that sitting at one place, immediately came to know, somewhere there is influence of Kali creeping in my kingdom. Immediately, for a Kshatriya, he is in his elements when there is an opportunity to fight. It's not that he is eager, there's an itch to fight and beat up people and defeat people. No. But they are in their elements when there is an opportunity to serve in the way they are actually expected to. Even in the middle of the night, just like for a businessman, if a proposal comes, he is in his elements. It's going to give some lakhs of rupees. Doesn't matter. Simply, there's some chance that a proposal is there. Immediately he's in his elements, gets into the business. Or to a preacher, if a person comes and, excuse me, Prabhuji, there is a college, bright, intelligent, Pracheta-like students, 300 of them. If you don't mind, can I arrange a program? Would you take the trouble to come and speak? Come along. I'll lead you, follow me. Where is it? Just show me. So, Parikshit Maharaj immediately took up his bows and arrow and headed by the chariot, the elephants, the cavalry, and the infantrymen. Very aesthetically it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, walked and decided to travel the whole planet for two purposes. He had inherited the kingdom, but he had to prove himself. And secondly, all the Kshatriyas of the past, they were not conquering kingdom simply to prove their supremacy or show their strength or power. Just like many of these other conquerors in the history books that we read, be it Greek or other countries, they created fear, traveled simply to show their, exhibit their strength. But a Kshatriya, true Kshatriya, did it because he felt it is his responsibility as a representative of God to see that God's rule is there everywhere. And if some place, some ruler is not ruling accordingly and I have the ability, then I have to bring him under my control. Do it according to what God wants, otherwise deal with me. Because I have the ability to take care of them. If you can't, get out. Or fight with me, defeat me. This was the mood to extend and expand their service that they actually did it. Because they felt it their responsibility. So when he heard this, Parikshit Maharaj heard this, he just grabbed. He said, I'm going to do it. And they cannot tolerate somewhere something going out of hand. And Parikshit Maharaj immediately went. So here was Maharaj Chitraketu, who was the emperor of this practically the whole planet. And another thing is, everyone, during that time, the earth produced the necessities for life. It's not that somehow he was managing to run the show. It is described even during the time of Maharaj Yudhishthir. adhayo vyadhaya klesha daiva bhutatma hetava. During the time of Maharaj Yudhishthir, shishichusma brajan gavah payadhu udaswati muda. Everything, because the king was ruling under the guidance of the Lord and his representatives, the whole planet, the earth actually produced everything, and everything was given perfectly in time. Perfect rain, just as much as needed. Vegetation, as much as needed. And there was ample and plenty. And therefore there was no need for any kind of misery. Daiva bhuta atma hetavaha. There was no misery caused by body and mind, misery caused by other living entities, because everyone was satisfied. Everyone was respected, everyone was honored, everyone was appreciated, everyone was, his mind was peaceful because he was engaged according to his propensity. His body was happy because all his necessities were supplied. What else do you require actually? The whole purpose of Varnashram is to keep the body, mind, you have to deal with the body. Body needs maintenance, sustenance. Mind needs engagement according to propensity. And however we say we have all little false ego, it doesn't go so easily. It needs respect, appreciation. So if you get that under the king, everyone has appreciated their contribution, because their mind, they were engaged according to their propensity, they could contribute the best. They were not worried about their maintenance. Everything was taken care of by the king. And they were appreciated for their contribution to the society. And therefore everyone was blissful. And the center point was always Vishnur Aradhyate Pantha, because the king himself was showing by example. So therefore, the earth produced all the necessities of life. Because the king was a proper representative of the Lord, therefore, the earth worshipped that representative and respected as a representative, and therefore she did her job. As a mother, Mother Earth has to supply to the children, and when they see that, when she sees that the children are glorifying the father, the Supreme Lord, naturally she will give out her best. So everything was there. He was the sole emperor of the whole planet, and the earth produced all the necessities of life. This Chitraketu had 10 million wives. This is little difficult, since 3-4 days the brahmacharis in the ashram are discussing, because he's supposed to have married one after the other, not mass marriage. He married one, she could not produce a child. Another one, another one, another one, another one. That means he waited for a few months to see. 10 million, 1 crore. Sometimes whenever I speak in the Bhagavatam, whenever I go outside, I say Chitraketu had innumerable wives. I dare not say 10 million. Because if one thing is exaggerated, they think everything in the lecture is exaggerated. But it is a fact. Maharaj or Shukdev Goswami would not exaggerate. He had 10 million wives. Where was the accommodation? How did he travel from one place to another? Inconceivable. But the fact is, he had 10 million wives. But although he was capable of producing children, he did not receive a child from any of them. By chance, all the wives were barren. By chance, somehow. Not by chance, it's actually perfect. But by chance, somehow he tried, by chance, that somehow the wife that he married specifically was barren. Chitraketu, the husband of these millions of wives, was endowed with a beautiful form, magnanimity and youth. He was born in a high family. He had complete education. He was wealthy, opulent. Nevertheless, in spite of being endowed with all these assets, he was full of anxiety because he did not have a son. His queens had all beautiful faces and attractive eyes, yet neither his opulences, his hundreds and thousands of queens, nor the lands of which he was the supreme proprietor were sources of happiness for him. So, anyone who thinks that any of what Chitraketu had, if he has, he'll become happy, this is a lesson. That he was not happy. In spite of all this. Because there was one but. As long as there are these buts in our life, then we can never be happy. And this but, everything is there. Yeah, everything is there. But this one person made my life miserable. This one situation makes me disgusting. This one circumstance which I want to avoid. So everyone has a but. He had everything but Hiranyakashipu. Forget about Chitraketu. Hiranyakashipu controlled the 3 planetary systems. But his 5-year-old Prahlad was out of his control. Because everything is controlled, you are happy. Why control? Because everything goes just according to the way you want. There's only one person who's whatever he desires, things happen the way he wants. Exactly, he gets what he wants when he wants. Exactly in the same proportion. And that is Krishna. Tumi Sarveshwareshwara Brajendra Kumar. Tomar Ichchaya Vishwe Srijana Samhar. Only Krishna, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam. You want to enjoy something in a particular way. You want to control, everything should go on in a particular way. So you should be the supreme controller, should be the enjoyer, supreme enjoyer. But then, we are not. Then Shantim Richad. If you want peace, forget trying to control, forget trying to enjoy separately from what you are actually meant to be. When we are situated in our constitutional position, understanding who we are and engage in that particular activity, then we are anxiety-less from a material point of view. Otherwise, it is impossible. Because there is we are not the controller. You may have the buttons which control, but these buttons don't control everything. And to the extent we are the senses, the mind, the ego is pampered by everything control, control, control. And things, one little thing go out of control, miserable. You have full made arrangement for a particular situation to enjoy nicely. Everything is set up, nice garden, everything nice. Everything you brought, and you brought a nice bowl, you want to eat something, then suddenly you find something is too much or too less. Finished. Spoiled. So, he had everything, but he wanted a son. It was for pious reasons. Putra hi punnama narakatrayate iti putra. He did not want a son simply because what will others feel if I don't have a son? He wanted a son because as a responsibility he thought that the legacy should go on and perfectly, you know, my responsibility should be handed over. Like Maharaj Dashrath also desired for a son. And he also wanted a son because he and his ancestors should be delivered, Pindadan. So as a responsible king, he wanted to fulfill that also. But still, even though it was justified, it was pious, still he had a desire which was not destined to be. And therefore, all this misery. And this mind creates all these buts. It's actually the mind. The source of all this is the mind. If the mind is not under control, even if the whole cosmic manifestation is under your control, still you'll be miserable. In fact, the whole process of yoga is simply meant to control the mind. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayo bandhaya vishaya sango mukte nirvishayam manaha. Mana eva, it is mana eva, just like we say haranam eva kevalam. There's no other way, no other way. Similarly, mana eva manushyanam. For any human being, every living entity, especially human being in the human life, mana eva manushyanam karanam. It is the cause. Mind is the cause. Mind is the only cause. For what? Bandha mokshayo. Mind is the cause of bondage, and mind is the cause of liberation. When is the mind cause of bondage? Bandhaya vishaya sango. When the mind becomes attached to some materialistic situation, a person, a circumstance, or particular situation, whatever, and that is vishaya sango. And muktyai nirvishayam. If you want to get liberated, nirvishayam. Because the whole fall down begins with vishaya. The mind needs something to chew. One time His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj made a very nice statement. He says, the mind desperately looks for some reason to become miserable. If you think about it, you're sitting in a nice, comfortable AC chair car in the train. Or something, you know, everything is right. AC is on, the window is shut, and the seats are perfect. The handle is also perfect, but you want the handle to move also. But it doesn't move. Miserable. Why doesn't it move the way I want? Or something, footrest. It should have been literally this angle. Why it is at this angle? If the mind convinces that it can be changed and you can't change it, you're miserable. Some one little thing. Everything is there, but something. I actually experienced this once. I went for a big temple opening program. 36 or 40 items were made. And everyone was being served. All the items were being served. I just, even in the wildest of imagination, I couldn't eat 6 of those items fully. But still, all the 36 were there. And the 37th item came, and that person served till the, my neighbor. Then he turned other side to serve the others. And then he turned this side and started from my next one and went off. And I saw that that item was not put in my plate. So obviously, that item was not very special item that I got. But still, why he neglected me? You know, I don't have the 37th item. And it's not, I could understand through philosophical understanding, intelligent enough to, you know, think, hey, this is enough for you. But still, back of the mind somewhere, you didn't get that item, huh? You didn't get it. You missed out. You really missed out. Somehow I called that person, put it, Baba. even though I may not eat it, but I have to have it, otherwise I can't enjoy all these 36 items. Because this 37th one is just hitting my head. Something the mind desperately needs to focus on to become miserable. So he had everything, but somehow he was not destined to have a son. But he said, I want to have it. I want to have it. I want to have it. And when your desire is really, really very strong, Krishna is seated in everyone's heart. Whichever desire is the strongest, Krishna sends, arranges in such a way that you get an opportunity to get that desire fulfilled. Archimedes, his whole consciousness was how things float, how things float, how things float. 24 hours. And then he's sitting in the bathtub and suddenly, ah, Eureka.
I got it. Whichever desire is the strongest in your heart, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir gyanam apohanam cha, is sitting in everyone's heart, eager to give you direction. So whatever desire is the strongest in our heart, Krishna, being a well-wishing friend and equal to everyone, envying no one, impartial to anyone, gives you just what you need, or what you want. Unless, of course, you turn to him and ask him, I'm fool number one, I don't know. I stop using my mind, man mana, that's all, I'm simply thinking of you, you do the needful. Then that's a different thing. Then the mind is no anxiety. Then the mind is happy. Then the mind is... Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atmanyeva atmana tushtaha sthita pragyastadochate. A self-realized person is described by Krishna in the Gita. The first thing he says, the general disposition, the main characteristic of a devotee, of a sthita pragya, was... Sthita pragya means is fixed, his consciousness is fixed. Sthitadhir muni. Muni. Muni means one who is expert in mental agitation. But sthitadhir muni, Narada muni is like sthitadhir muni, whose mind is exactly fixed in what it is actually meant for. Savai manah krishna padaravindayo. Man mana. We have to focus the mind on serving Krishna. The soul has to realize who he is. That is the first thing. The soul has to realize, I am not naham vipro nacha narapati napi vaishyo na shudro naham varni nacha garapati navanasto kintu prodhyan nikhila paramananda purnamrtabder gopi bharturpada kamalayor das dasamda. The first thing is the soul must be convinced that I am actually a servant. Whose servant? Krishna's servant. Jivir Swarup hoy Krishner Nitya Das. And therefore, with respect to Krishna, everyone else I serve in a way that it is pleasing to Krishna. Such a person is actually satisfied. Otherwise, even if you get what you want, it is Harsha Shoka. It's very interesting. Chitraketu was deeply desiring, and Angira, it's very nice, the word used is it's a very interesting word. Once upon a time, when the powerful sage named Angira was traveling all over the universe without engagement. Why would a person travel? Anyone who travels without engagement is a loafer. Generally, we criticize a person. Why are you loafing around? Loafing around means he doesn't know where he's going. Simply just. Why was he traveling the universe without engagement? It is described in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. One time, the four Kumaras were traveling all over the universe, including outside, without engagement. Cherur vihayasa. So if you have no engagement, especially self-realized people, why will they travel? Why was Shukadeva Goswami traveling without engagement? He was moving as the Lord inspired. Narada Muni also travels without engagement. As moved by the Lord. Because he has no other agenda, he has nowhere to move. But still he moves. He simply allows himself like a pawn to be moved by the will of the Lord. To engage in his service. I don't know where you want me to engage. And therefore, Narada Muni arrives just where the devotee is intensely wanting to understand God. And Narada, he gives Narayan to him. Because he surrendered to the Lord guides him exactly to the right place at the right time to give the right message to the right dosage. We find Srila Prabhupada, he was completely surrendered. Nachao, nachao, I don't know why I'm coming here. I don't know. But My guru ordered me, and with my intelligence and whatever I could understand from the will of all my other devotees, I thought this is the best. I don't know why I am going, but I am going. I know my Lord. Simply you make me dance. Put me at the right place, at the right time, to speak the right words, to give the maximum effect which is pleasing to you. And we see, it's a historical voyage of Shukadeva Goswami reaching the right person at the right time to give the message which is going to be beneficial all over the whole world for all time to come. Narada Muni reaching Prahlad or reaching the demons at the right time to tell, forget him, don't kill him. Don't kill the child or don't kill the child in the womb because he's a Mahabhagavat. Or reaching to Dhruva at the right time. So, they were traveling without engagement. By his sweet will, he came to the palace of King Chitraketu. Because Chitraketu was actually a highly advanced soul. Otherwise, he could not run the planet and keep people happy and everything under control until and unless he was actually a perfect representative of the Lord. But he had one little problem. And that was to be so that he could quickly come back home back to Godhead. So this is arrangement by the Lord. 2-3 lives, shortcut, come back to me. But just he needed that. Yasyaham anugrihnami harishetad dhanam shane. Krishna is very merciful. When he sees that something is bothering, Bali Maharaj, same little problem is there. He does it in such a wonderful way that he's completely satisfied. So Angira Rishi comes. And Chitraketu, such a cultured, refined, a great advanced personality, he sits him, welcomes him, puts him on the throne. With great humility, with mind and senses controlled temporarily. He sits at the feet of Angira Rishi and tells him, he serves him. And Angira Rishi sees, face is the index of the mind. He could see, just by the person's face, you can know that he's not very happy. Kyun kya ho gaya? Murje murje lag rahe ho. Everything is there. Is something not out of control? Is something out of control? Because something goes out of control, a person is miserable. My son, after this teenage, can't believe such a sweet child suddenly has become a demon. Speaks against me. Earlier he used to chant so nicely. Now he has permanently hung his bead bag. It's gone out of my control. So, he says, is everything under your control? Because things are out of not control. The king is always anxiety ridden if things are not under control. He has fulfilled his responsibility and things are out of control. Puts a person in anxiety. Say, is everything control? Are your wives under control? Are your amatya under control? This under control, that under control. There are 7 items which must be under control. If all these are under control, you are happy. Said, yeah, everything is fully under control except my destiny. This is out of control. I'm not getting what I want. Of course, that control is not fear. Fear is the least thing of control because that's not the best control, or simply out of gain. But real control is when there is a love. We see in Srila Prabhupada's relationship with his disciples. He was so much controlled by their dedication, their surrender. And they were absolutely, their mantra was, don't accept anyone above 30. Don't surrender to any authority. And here not 30, 2 times 30. And here was an old man and they were absolutely controlled by him, ready to do anything, anywhere. That control, even though he was one corner of the planet, but one little instruction, everyone accepted it willingly and made it their life and soul. Prabhupada said, This is another samrat in the recent age. Ekarat, the founder Acharya. Imagine one man sitting at one place making one little statement, and all over the planet, whoever have accepted him as a leader, very happily follow. Happily, ready to be subordinated by him, because he is subordinated by their love and surrender and dedication. So, he said, what's the problem? He said, I have everything, but I don't have a son. Give me a son. So Maharaj, Angira Muni tried to tell him in so many ways. Accepted the will of the Lord. It's very interesting. Angira Muni tells, he says, my Lord, Chitraketu Maharaj tells Angira Muni, my Lord, you know everything. Because you are always in samadhi, because you have transcendental knowledge, because you have controlled your senses, because you have undergone so much austerity, you know everything in and out. So, you don't need to ask me. You know what's in my heart. Still, because you have asked me, I'm going to tell you. The same thing happens when Vyasadeva is dissatisfied. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we read, Vyasadeva is dissatisfied. He has compiled all the Vedic literatures for the benefit of humanity, and still his mind is dissatisfied. And when he's dissatisfied, deeply, it is so dissatisfied, and his desire to know the cause of dissatisfaction is so intense that Narada Muni happens to come there. Again, traveling without engagement, exactly happened to be at the right place at the right time, because Krishna's plan is going to be unfolded for the welfare of all humanity. Dharma Sansthapanarthaya. A great thing is going to manifest. Therefore, the deep dissatisfaction, and a right person comes at the right moment. And what does Vyasadeva say? Vyasadeva says, there's a beautiful verse. Savai Bhavan Veda Samasta Guhyam. Savai Bhavan, you, Veda, you know, Samasta Guhyam. All the mysteries are known to you. Why? Upasito yat purushah puranah. Because you are completely surrendered and worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know everything in and out. Yasmin vigyate sarvamevam vigyatam bhavati. What to tell to which person, at what time, to what extent? That's an expert preacher. Sometimes we do little extra and you burn out someone. And sometimes we don't push them enough and then they go away. But somehow, if we allow the Lord to use us, he can move us amazingly and do his will, execute his will through us. And we've seen in Srila Prabhupada, he just allowed, used his intelligence to the best of his ability on the order of his guru and the instruction and the faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam word. He simply allowed and amazing things happened. So, Savai Bhavan Veda Samasta Guhyam Upasito Yat Purushah Purana. Because you are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know everything in and out. And then he says, Tvam Paryatan Arka Ivat Triloki. You are traveling all over the three worlds like the sun. And antascharo vayuriva atmasakshi. You can penetrate the innermost core of the heart of everyone like the air. And therefore, my Lord, you tell me, what is the reason for my dissatisfaction? And very interesting feature. The first thing Narada Muni does is smayan niva. He smiles. Smile is different from laugh. Laugh means teeth is visible. Smile means just smitahasya. Smayanniva smiles. Why is he smiling? Krishna also, when Arjuna was devastated, I don't know what's going to happen and what I'm supposed to do. Prahasanniva. Prahasan. Not laughing. But I understand. Why? It says, Parasharya Mahabhaga Bhavato Kachidatmana Paritushyati Sharira Atma Manasa Evava. He says, Parasharya, O son of Parashar Muni, indirectly is telling him, it does not behoove you to lament and be dissatisfied because you have such high parentage. You are the son of Parashar Muni. Similarly, Krishna also told, what Partha? Come on, Bharata. It doesn't befit you. Anarya Jushtam Aswargyam Akirtikaram Arjuna Klaibhyam Masmagama Partha. Don't fall to this impotence. You are a potent man. You are knowledgeable. You have such high parentage. And look at you. Because he had taken the role from a friend, he had become a disciple. Therefore, Krishna was smiling. Similarly, so he's smiling and telling him, Parasharya, you're son of Parashar. Come on. Are you satisfied by identifying yourself as the body or identifying yourself as the mind? Immediately giving the diagnosis also. What you have given in the scriptures is 90% trying to satisfy the needs of the body and the mind, and only somewhere little bit tidbits here and there, little about devotional service, which is satisfying to the soul. Now, kick out all this nonsense that simply superficially, in the name of religion, in the name of spirituality, trying to give something which is very, very temporary, superficially satisfying the mind and senses. Now you give a literature which will completely satisfy the soul. So, dehatma buddhi, as long as a person identifies with the mind, body, goal of life is eat, drink and be merry. If you identify yourself with the mind, mano rathena sati dhavato bahi. The problem with the mind is, it will not remain constant. Every day it changes. Every moment it changes. The mind is asking for a raise or a promotion. A man gets it. How long? Few minutes. Few weeks. Maximum few months. Again he is dissatisfied. Because the mind will never be satisfied. As long as a person is on a mental platform. Harava abhaktasya kuto mahadguna. He may have wonderful qualities, but manorathena asati. It's like a prostitute looking for different things for satisfaction. Not satisfied with one object. A prostitute is not satisfied with one man. She needs a new man every day. Kunti Maharani is referred to as sati. Why sati? Because that word Prabhupada uses, sati means chaste to only one Lord, one Master. Kamadinam katina katida palita durnideshas tesham jata mai na karuna na tripano pashanti. Therefore it is described that kamadinam, we are serving so many masters. Lust we are serving, anger we are serving, greed we are serving. We have been serving since time immemorial, since so many species of life. But these masters are so cruel. The more you serve them, the more they want you to exploit. The more they want to exploit you. They never give you retirement. No retirement benefits. First of all, no retirement. What to speak of retirement benefits? And by chance you fail them one day, they won't forget it. Remember, last Sunday, you did not serve me. 3 years ago, you failed in me. But the Lord is just the opposite. Even once if you are surrendered to him and you have forgotten, he never forgets. He is so wonderful. Therefore, Uddhava prays, he says, who is that person who will not serve that Supreme Lord who gave the highest benediction of becoming a dhatri in the spiritual world to the lowest of all abominable, sinful killer of children, Putana? Who will not serve such a master? So manorathena asati, when the mind is unchaste, savai manah krishna pada, the chastity of the mind is meant to be focused on Krishna's service. Anything else other than focus on Krishna's service, then what happens? Harsha shoka. Our material desires is like harsha shoka. If it is not fulfilled, miserable, 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 miserable. And if it is fulfilled, you get it. But it is a source of harsha, and eventually it's going to be the source of shoka. I want a son, I want a son. The son. You got a son. Source of happiness for some time. But then he falls sick. He gets some major illness, misery. But people are somehow not able to appreciate and understand this. As Prabhupada writes, as Chanakya Pandita also says, Kortha putrena jatena yo na vidvam na dharmikah. Ko artha, what is the use of such a putra? Na vidvan, not even intelligent, na dharmikah, not even pious and a devotee. Kanena chakshusha kimva chakshuhu pidaiva kevalam. You have kamal lochan, beautiful eyes, but blind. So the eyes give only conjunctivitis, that's all. You won't see, simply namesake eyes, like plumes on the peacock feather. Useless, if it is not engaged in the service of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord. So, kanena chakshusha kimva chakshuhu pidaiva kevalam. But somehow, still the mind is attached. No, I will just do one this, after that devotion, he devotion. That's all, this one little desire is there. That one little desire. Just one son. Everything, including the body, it's a source of happiness in the first phase of life. Cross 40, 50 and into the source of shoka. Maintenance. So much misery. So much time is spent. I remember one time when I was admitted in the hospital, just next to me a man came. And this man's only problem was, he had hiccups. For 3-4 days, his hiccups were not going. Every 5 seconds, he would just go like that. And people were trying all kinds of things. Nothing was happening. His hiccups would not go. And he was telling me, he was about 54-year-old. And this man told me, he said, "Bete." You see this body, he was just hitting it. Oh, very well built fellow. He said, "This body was my servant for the first half of my life. He got some land by his ancestral property, which was hard like stone. Maine isko sona banaya." He said he used his body 22 hours a day. He would work to till the land and beat the stone into dust. And he said, "Sone ki dharti maine banaya. Aur aaj ye mera malik ban gaya hai. Every 2 hours I have to give it some tablet. Every 3 hours I have to pamper it. If I don't, it demands attention." He said, "I am completely become a servant of this body. For first phase, I was the master. I could use it." I said, "No sleeping today. Night out." "Yes, sir. I want to do this. Come on, push, push, push." And I was able to get everything that I wanted. Everything I could control. And today, not one limb is supporting me. It's a miserable feeling. He said, don't waste your life like that. Now I remember after so many years. I actually forgotten that time. So, the nature of material desires is when it comes, as long as you are hankering or just in the process of getting it, it is source of happiness. As soon as you get it, harsher. But the nature of this material world is, as Prahlad Maharaj tells Hiranyakashipu, he said, Sada samudvigna dhyam asad grahat. Catch hold of something that is eternal, then you won't have to lament. That which never degrades, that which is never destroyed, that which never diminutes. Catch hold of that. You want relationship, seek that relationship in that person who is eternal, who is all good, who is all reciprocating, who is infallible, achyuta, he never fails in reciprocating. If you look for that, away from him in anything else, then sada samudvigna dhyam. You will always be in anxiety. Why? Because you have caught hold of something which is asat and you want to make it sat, which is not. So all of us are like, more or less like Chitraketu. We are all devotees, at least trying to be. But all of us have our own harshashokas. We don't have. As long as it's not there, everything is all right. But, Prabhuji, I'll do devotion, no problem. After all, this body is simply meant for Krishna only. I know it. But, let this happen and this happen this afternoon. Uske baad, maam ekam sharanam. Something is there. Some little thing is like a hitch catching us. Wait, this one thing and after that, I think everything will be set exactly what I want, and then pure devotional service. It will never happen. And even if it happens, even if that desire is fulfilled, how long? In fact, the more happiness it brings in fulfilling that material desire, the more miserable you will be when it is taken away, which is inevitable. Therefore, Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. The most happiest and satisfied person, blissful person, is he who is Prasannatma, Prasannatma. Whose Atma, who is understood who he is. Who he is, I'm not the body, I'm the soul. And what is the nature of the soul? Simply knowing that I'm not the body and the soul is not enough. Even Mayavadis know this. But Madhbhaktim Labhate Param. Lashochati Nakangshati. In the fifth chapter, beautiful verse, Bhagavad Gita, fifth chapter, seventh verse. If you really want to be happy, satisfied, love everyone and loved by all, that's what we like, right? We want to love everyone. We want everyone to love us. Krishna gives the formula, 5.7, Bhagavad Gita. If you want to love everyone and if you want everyone to love you and you be the, completely satisfied and happy and blissful, 5.7 Bhagavad Gita. This is to inspire you to take shelter of Prabhupada's books. Some eagerness has to be created. It says, Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma Vijitatma Jitendriya Sarva Bhuta Atma Bhutatma Kurvanapi Nalipyate. Such a beautiful verse. Yoga Yukta. One who is engaged in devotional service of the Lord, knowing I am first and foremost the servant of Krishna. Because a person in Krishna consciousness is servant to all, everyone is satisfied by him. Who is not satisfied if they get a free servant? People will be satisfied by you. If you say, I am your servant, and a good servant, really well-wishing servant, who is ready to do anything for your welfare, who will not be satisfied by such a servant? Knowledgeable servant, intelligent servant, first-class servant. Because a devotee of the Lord considers himself the servant of every servant, Prasannatma, he is satisfied. Because if you are a servant, there is no big expectations. Whatever comes is bonus. Servant doesn't deserve anything. So if you don't expect, like the other day we are discussing, when you travel by bus, BST buses, if you have expectation when you leave home, I hope I get a window seat. And I hope I get it on the left side because the sun is in the morning from the right side. And I hope the neighbor is not snoring or talkative guy. He simply keeps to himself. And I hope I get the third from the front so that quick to get down. You have all these expectations and then you go inside and you don't get it. Even if you get a seat, but some right corner, miserable. But if you have absolutely no expectation, I'm a servant of everyone, everyone should sit. Anyway, I'm going to stand. Even if you get to stand, suppose you don't expect to get inside and you get a place to stand. Thank you, Krishna. At least I got a place to stand. Oh, I got a seat also. Oh, a window seat. Wow. My good fortune. And fresh air on the left side. Right in front, next to the driver. Wow, my day is made. But still, if you are attached, somebody comes, hey, ladies, guy, hato yahan se. It's good fortune as long as it lasts. If it doesn't, hari bol. It's all right. I anyway expected to stand. At least I got to sit for a few seconds. Thank you very much. So, a servant of the Lord is actually, everyone is satisfied with him. And because everyone is satisfied with him, his consciousness is pure, Vishuddhatma. If someone is not satisfied, if someone is envious, if someone is looking at you with, you feel a little disturbed. Or someone tries to, you see what happened. Kritadyuti got it. She was the center of attraction for Maharaj Chitraketu's eyes. But because she was so absorbed in that, because Maharaj Chitraketu was so absorbed in that and neglected all other wives, they were miserable. And therefore, they were determined to make the life miserable for these two. And they succeeded. In this material world, to make someone miserable is not at all difficult. Simply look at them in a different angle and finish the whole day. The person is miserable. That's all. To make a person miserable, very easy. Because everyone is miserable anyway. So, if a person is completely satisfied, Vishuddhatma, such a person is pure in consciousness. Vishuddhatma. And because he is pure in consciousness, Vijitatma, he is happy. His mind is under control. Because he only looks, how can I serve? Vishuddhatma, Vijitatma. And because his mind is under control, Jitendriya. His senses are under control. How? Because he knows, I am the servant of Krishna and the top order goes down. The order goes down. I am the servant of Krishna. He tells the false ego, you are simply servant of Krishna. The ego tells the intelligence, simply you are the servant of Krishna. Okay? Use your intelligence simply to serve Krishna. Intelligence tells mind, its next subordinate, you are simply servant of Krishna. Think of Krishna. Mind tells the senses, you are servant of Krishna. Use all the senses simply in the service of Krishna. Don't do anything that is not connection with Krishna. Mind, don't think of anything which is not connected with Krishna. Intelligence, don't plan for any nonsense which is not beneficial in Krishna's, for Krishna's satisfaction. Ego, shut up. Trinadapi suni chena. No, he's telling taro riva sahishtuna. No, but he did not respect. Amanina. Why should I get? Manadena. Hare Krishna. Kirtaniya Sada. He has to surrender ultimately. It looks like a politician giving speech. Huh? I hope somebody has not paid you to clap every few intervals. So in this way, though Maharaj Chitraketu had such a golden opportunity to acquire the ultimate, the same Angira came later. And then when he told him, he was actually receptive. Because he, at that time, he could see the futility. Even actually Angira didn't say, it came from the same source. The child spoke up. This is all, especially we are attached to something and after that thing is lost or whatever happens, that realization that is got through that actually makes us receptive. Till, until and unless from that, you know, from that object itself, after that frustration, the realization comes as if that object is speaking to us. Why were you attached to me? You knew I'm going to break down. Even that time he wouldn't have been receptive to Angira and all that. But when the child himself spoke, why are you attached to me? Just like when that lady, Bilumangal Thakur, was spoken to by that lady herself. What craziness, what are you attached to me? I'm insignificant prostitute. Why are you forgetting Krishna? That is like much more powerful. When that realization comes, intellectually we may have understood. But actually when that realization comes, some people learn, some intelligent, less intelligent people learn after realization. But someone like Prahlad Maharaj, he understood by hearing. Prahlad Maharaj says, I had heard that people are so attached to me and mine and yours. And now I am seeing when Chandamarkar are speaking. They are telling us, I had heard. But the difference between Prahlad Maharaj and us is he understood simply by hearing from Narad Muni. But we, because we are second class intelligence, if we are really intelligent, we are second class. Otherwise, we are third class. I hope we are not fourth class. Fourth class means you realize and you think, maybe this time it didn't work out. Next time I'm going to plan systematically. I'll get a son and I'll put him in such a box, no one can kill him. I'll have a poison-free, you know, some effect, something to test poison and everything. No food will be given to him. Chitraketu could have again tried. But he was second class intelligence. He saw it. He realized it. And therefore, at that time, he was more receptive. And then, what is the result? Result is immediately, he left that unnecessary desire, which is not conducive to adjust things in this material world to become controller or proprietor or enjoyer or whatever. Whatever situation it is there, be satisfied. And monogatan, all mental concoctions or arranging things to become happy, arranging things, if things happen like this, if people become like that, if things, situation, circumstance become like that, then it's all right. If it is not till then it just goes on. And then Chitraketu Maharaj was so receptive, that even Kritadyuti was influenced. And what to speak of her? All the 10 million queens. Big preaching. Can you imagine? 10 million disciples he made in one. All of them followed Chitraketu's path. So then all the previous things came to his advantage actually. He could preach to 10 million people and all of them followed the path. And of course, little extra was left because Krishna wanted him to come quick, much more quicker than becoming a Gandharva. So he arranged for another incident that through Parvati, he was cursed to become Vritrasur. And simultaneously, Krishna is called Bhuri Karma. Through one incident, he teaches so many people so many lessons. So, Vritrasur. And what a glorious passing away of Vritrasur. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. any questions or comments? Take just one question if there is any. Yes, Brajbihari Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for a wonderful class. Throughout the class, you are bringing up this point again and again of how that one thing will be there which will disturb us and which will not give us happiness. And especially that example of Harsha Shoka, the thing that causes us happiness, object or person that causes our happiness, can also cause us distress, Shoka. So this is so when we are preaching, also we face this challenge from many people. They say, yes, we agree, we know that the object that gives us happiness also gives us distress. That is the nature of this world. But we derive more happiness, we actually become more happy when we have this mixture of both. So they say life should be like this. Life should be having, for that pain which we experience, that makes us experience the pleasure better when we get pleasure.
That is a perverted reflection. Everything in this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So even this line of thought is a perverted, because actually the happiness is also another form of misery. There is no happiness. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yona evate. It's actually a potential source of misery. Adyanta vanta kaunteya nateshwara mate buddha. An intelligent man will not give this argument, because he understands that even the so-called happiness, it's like an itch. An itch. If you have experienced that itch, the whole consciousness is focused on the itch. Till you scratch, nothing is palatable. Even the best food, everything, but let me have that itch. And when you scratch, it gives happiness. It's actually not happiness. You think scratching is happiness? Especially if it is strong and you're scratching your skin with your... if a monkey comes and scratches on a healthy skin. You know? Of course, there are nice scratches which you may enjoy. Because the person, the motivation behind... But if a monkey comes and scratches on a healthy body, you don't like it. It's a nail scratching on a skin. Epidermis. It's not happiness, but you perceive it because it seems to relieve. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the example of a man who's punished by dunking him in water. And after dunking, when you pulled up, happiness. Therefore, put me inside again, so that again I can experience that. We are sitting here, and for last 1.5 hours, breathing very nicely, enjoying. There's a joke, you know. One person asked me, why was the moron hitting his head against the wall? So why? Because it gave him great relief when he stopped it. You know, so yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yoni. Yoni means source of birth. It is dukha yonaya evate. And even if it lasts, adyantavanta, first of all, it's a source of birth, and then adyantavanta. It's just like, again, Chitraketu. Angira told him, it's going to be a source of your a jubilation. And also, so what he thought, same mentality. Make him read this. The mentality was, theek hai, it is, you know, dhani bab ka iklota beta. He may be spoiled a little, spoiled brat. He won't listen to me. Better to, as Prabhupada explains, better to have a blind uncle than no uncle. This mentality was exhibited by Chitraketu. Chalega. Still give me that. Because when it is not, when it is there, it gives me some happiness. What do you want to hit your wall, hit your head against the wall? It's painful. No, because when I stop, it gives me misery. It gives me happiness. But that's why even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eimanda, Eibhala, Eimanda. It's all mental concoction. Because what is giving you happiness? Forget about the situation changing. The same situation can tomorrow make you miserable. The nature of this world is, what is the source of happiness can potentially, without changing even, become the source of your misery. So no gentleman will decide to play around with this because he knows it may look happy or distressed, but package is only one thing. That is distress. And what is that? Dukkhalayam. Dukkhalayam. It's actually dukkhalayam. You can't find sukha here, and even so-called gap between two dukkha, what you perceive as sukha, is ashashvatam. If I were to tell you, okay, all the doors are closed, all the windows are closed, locked, and if I tell you, we're going to have a feast, right here we'll be serving out the feast, and I just want to inform you, my dear friends, that in 10 minutes, there's a big bomb kept here, somebody has rung up, and it's going to blast. All the best, enjoy your feast. It's like the goat enjoying the grass while seeing other goats being slaughtered in the slaughterhouse. An intelligent man, Buddha, Prabhupada, that's why I mentioned. Okay, but this, even if you're feeling you're enjoying, is it going to last? See, that's why birth is going to be there, old age, disease, and death. Therefore, Rishabdev says, Nayam deho deha bhajam niloke kashtan kama. So much struggle ultimately to go to hell, to break all the principles. To actually do devotional service is so simple, pataram pushpam phalam. But to do all this nonsense, to go to hell, you have to struggle. Kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujam ye tapo divyam putraka. Now you perform austerity. Anyway, you have to perform austerity to get your sense gratification. But tapo divyam putraka. Use your intelligence in human life for that tapasya yena sattvam shuddhyet. By which your existence is purified. On a mental platform, on an intellectual platform, of egoistic platform or sensual platform. Yena sattvam shuddhyet. Yasmat brahma saukhyam. And enjoy spiritual happiness. And you may say, what is the difference spiritual happiness may be? Brahma saukhyam to anantam. On one hand, you have one lifetime of little tapasya. And that is what? Chant, dance and be happy. This is the tapasya for one lifetime to get eternal life in Vaikuntha. And on the other hand, so much tapasya just to make the two ends meet and to chew what is already chewed in so many lifetimes. Khoda pahad nikli chuhiya. So much endeavor for this much happiness. And that's also always anxiety ridden. Just like the birds, you know. They're always watching. Somebody may come and snatch it away. Intelligent man will not. Nati shuramate buddha. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Itai Gaur Premanandi.